Blog Talk Radio.
And everybody should know that's how love goes. It's good for the soul.
Oh, I got a long way to go, but it won't stop the pain. No, no. That's the kind of thing that keeps me coming back again and again.
Questions or comments or feedback, just press 1 and join us on in. As well as if you have any comments on the live on Facebook, go ahead and stop posting. Again, welcome. You're tuning in to the Healthy Soul Talk Show with your favorite therapist, Dr. Kimberly Thomas. And we have a great show lined up. So go ahead and share. And you can also download this on iHeartRadio as well as Spotify and iTunes. Again, thank you for joining us. How are you doing this great, windy, cool evening? My amazing producer, Elder Dr. Dana King.
We're going to work on all the names.
Okay, then.
I'm well. Thank you.
Are you ready for fall / winter?
You see me, right? You see the sweater? See my Mr. Rogers.
You got your skull cap ready?
No, I actually don't have one. I gotta find my. I have to find me a different type of skull cap. I'm not sure what I want to rock this year. So yeah.
Oh, okay.
I like a more. I like the regular cotton.
Okay.
I like the tight fitting nylon ish. Type. Yeah.
Okay.
Just to keep the dome. Just for me to get in and out of the car. Because other than that, I.
All right. Now, are you a winter person? Do you like?
No, hate every bit of it.
What?
Yeah. I hate winter. I do.
So you don't like the snow? You don't like?
No. And I grew up here. Remember, I grew up in Chicago, but I have no. I am. The only time I really want snow is Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, December 26th. Give me back 65 degrees.
Okay. Well, I'll keep you in my prayers. As we make this transition into a new season of life called winter.
Right.
So, again, thank you for tuning in. You're tuning in live to the Healthy Soul Talk Show with your girl, your favorite therapist, Dr. Kimberly Thomas. We have a great show lined up tonight. We're going to talk about, you know, some mental health symptoms that we don't often talk about. And, you know, one thing about this show, I want to make sure that we have open and frank conversations that people not only can, when I say enjoy, I mean it takes an interest, right? It's not so technical. It's not so stressful, or it's not a conversation where you leave feeling like, oh, my God, what just happened, right? It's definitely a show where you can tune in. We can lighten the mood a little bit. Have fun, but also understand that there is a community awareness that needs to happen. And so my goal is to make sure that I absolutely talk about the things that I experience as a clinician, just in my circle, as well as in my profession.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's get the show started. I can't really see who's logging in on my screen here, so I'm going to go. You know, if I'm looking down, I'm looking at my phone.
Oh,
so thank you, Gabriel, thank you. Who's joining in here? I did click. See, this is what happens when you go live and you don't know what you're doing. Thank you, Rosemary. Thank you, Byron. Thank you, Gordon, for tuning in. We're definitely going to have a good discussion this evening, and now we're ready to rock and roll. So here's you know, I'd like to start off with a fun fact.
Uh-oh.
Right? And I know without a doubt that it's about to...
Give a candy job.
It's about to go down because, you know, I chose these things based on, you know, we're going into the holiday season. So for sure, when November starts, we're going to talk about how to stay emotionally safe and what to do with those relationships and being around people you don't really want to be around this season, right? So here's the first fact. Okay. There's a few studies that came out a few years ago. Thank you for joining us, David. Come on in. And it says that women speak about 20,000 words per day compared to men who speak about 7,000 words per day. And so it was saying that as studies went on, although that number kind of closed in, it still suggests that women speak more words than men. Do you agree with that? Do you think that?
Absolutely.
And watch yourself now. Watch
Absolutely.
Yourself now.
Well, I mean, is this? I don't think this is unlike any of the previous fun facts where we were enlightened and given information that we really did not know. I think this is one that you go, duh. Yeah.
Would you care to elaborate on?
Really? You want me to
your
talk?
Yeah. Yes. What do you get from that when it says that women speak about? Well, thousands more words per day than men. Is it suggesting that we're dominating conversations? Is it suggesting that we have a broader vocabulary? What? Are we pushovers? Are we?
I'm going to keep it clean.
Keep it clean? What direction are you trying to go in?
Women are better communicators.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Women do a lot of communicating.
That's okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Men don't do a lot of communicating. We kind of
verbal communication.
Yeah. Yeah. I think women do more talking than men do.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Men are more. We're more visual, action oriented than we are speakers.
Okay.
For the most part.
Okay. Okay. And of course, we know that there's factors that we would still take in consideration when we say that.
Oh, God.
But this goes into the next point.
Okay.
It says here, and listen, I actually looked up, I said, fun facts about men and women. Now, how this got into the category of fun facts, I really don't know, right? But it says here, women have a hard time admitting when they are wrong. Right? This means that a woman hardly ever apologizes and thinks that it's a man's duty to apologize. That's supposed to be a fun fact.
Absolutely. And I agree. 110%. My God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
So you are agreeing
yes.
That women have a hard time admitting they are wrong.
Absolutely.
But when are we wrong, though?
See? Point. Period. There it is.
Okay. All right. And so it says we hardly ever apologize, and we think that it's a man's duty to apologize.
Absolutely. We are.
So are you saying you've had to apologize even though you
No. I don't. But I'm saying that most women, let me not say that. The women that I know have a hard time apologizing when they're wrong.
Okay.
I don't want to be like y'all and categorize all men.
All right. You know, I can definitely
come on.
You know, share.
Turn your lady card. Come on. Come on.
Some agreement with this, meaning that it depends on how much a woman has been suppressed.
Mm.
You know, I look at that definitely as sometimes when you're growing up in a family where there's mostly women. There's mostly, you know, that dominant where you are continuously made to apologize. It's just when you get older, you're like, I'm not apologizing for anything because, you know, I don't see that. I don't see that ever happening, right? I love these comments.
Yeah, you see that?
Yes. Latoya said, don't agree to her. I'm with you, Latoya. I'm trying to be neutral. I'm trying to play it safe, you know, be equal, you know, opportunity here. But, you know, only in special and rare occasions do I feel like, you know, we're ever wrong. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to leave it right there.
You do that. I'm going to stay over here.
All right. And here's the last point.
Uh-oh.
Here's the last point. I ran across this article, and I was like, wow, is it true? Mm. And it says here, the oldest couple to ever divorce due to infidelity 60 years before. The oldest couple. So the husband was 99.
Uh-huh.
And his wife was 96. He found some letters that she had, you know, kept from an affair that happened nearly 60 years earlier. And so she begged her husband to forgive her, you know, but he couldn't. And so they met and got married in the 1930s. And unfortunately, by I think this happened in 2011, when he found it, he asked for a divorce.
Wow.
You know, and it says that, of course, some things was happening prior to that, but I would say they were definitely one of those couples that remained together despite what was going on. But once he found those letters, you know,
because he probably went back and thought if he looked at the letters and read the date on the letter, he probably went back and said, what were we going through in 2000 and or 1982 when we had our first little hiccup? Oh, you was with that. I see. So there you go.
Well, then I'll go with that. But also, it says that there was a bumpy period in the road in his marriage, where he left for a prolonged period of time, unknown where he was.
Unknown.
And she stayed with him, uh-huh, right?
Uh-huh.
Come on back together. Uh-huh. But then, you know, here we are 60 years later, and you just like, and unfortunately, you know, I don't know how I take this, but a year after they divorced, he passed away.
Oh, wow. Time that he should have stayed in the game.
I mean, what his reason why he wanted to live a happy life. Like, I think that really broke his heart, and he just, you know, I don't know. Do men have a hard time forgiving?
It's harder for men to forgive.
In terms of, like, even if it happened during a period, not even just being married, but I think it goes the same when you're in a relationship and you, quote unquote, break up, you separate. You know, something happens maybe between you and another person or, you know, your partner, and you find out about it. There are some people who look at that as we still were talking, we still, you know, were in, you know, whatever mode we were in. They look at that as cheating, right? Even though officially we were not together.
I think men, it's harder for women are. Women are more forgiving, I believe, than men are, especially when it comes to infidelity. I think it's easy, you know, and this is even for a man that cheats. It's easier that a man can cheat on you and then have the nerve to get mad when you turn around and do it back to him. We can't take what we get shot.
I get
because,
that, though. Do
because,
we stay in a relationship?
And I'll tell you why. Because men are, because we're visual people.
Absolutely.
So the first thing that comes to our mind is, wait a minute. You know, this
is a saved this show.
That was yesterday. This is, you said real talk, real solution. That's what you said now.
mission I have heard
see,
it all.
What do you think?
What, she should have tossed those letters?
No, no, what's the bottom? He said, the newest one.
Oh,
said,
yes, if a woman cheats, she can never.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, David, you can forgive and then still have a, you know. Okay, man. We have to rebuild trust. But, no, on the serious side, I've had, obviously, situations where, you know, gentlemen express that whole visual thing. So I think, you know, once you introduce, obviously, intimacy and sex into the relationship, there goes the visual. There goes the, okay,
right.
That's it. I can't deal with this.
Absolutely. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I don't think, and I'm not saying that women aren't visual, but I think men, we are more, is it right brain, the visual? I mean, what's imagination?
Where's Dr. Brown? Somebody tag Dr. Brown. He keeps me in check.
Right.
Which side of the brain is the one that has the
imagination? I think it's right side. But we're more, but I believe I read a study somewhere that we're more, men are more visual people. So it's hard to get those thoughts out of your,
right.
Especially if you have a, if you're in a, men can't handle what they dish out. Okay, see, there you go.
Tanya, Tanya,
she in there, ain't she?
Ooh, yes.
Why don't you come co-host? Then I cannot be here.
Don't, hey.
Huh?
We can have a girl tonight.
Y'all show it. Just
yes,
name the night. I come to call in. I come back and lock up. I got no problems. No problems.
Oh, goodness. She said karma is a, and we definitely can fill in the blank with that one.
Come on now.
All right, so yeah, those were, I thought those were interesting facts because, you know, a lot of times in, you know, this thing called relationships or in when you talk about counseling, you know, we often get that in terms of how much do you share, how do I share, where do I start. So I definitely pulled that because men go to counseling too, right? And sometimes you have to set the atmosphere to be able to share the true feelings, right? So society has set up where men shouldn't express their feelings. They shouldn't express their thoughts, right? Because there's this limited masculinity that comes with that, right? But they hurt too, right?
Well,
okay.
There's this whole emasculation of men that is going on right now. But that's a different show. We'll talk about that.
Okay,
all right. Yeah, I'm serious. There is a lot of the emasculation of men going on is so heavy, is so it has been going on for a while.
Okay.
But it was, what's the word I'm looking for? It was what is the word? I can't, my words are leaving me. Oh, it was what is it when you're doing it, but you're doing it like, and you're not really paying. Oh God, I cannot think of the name of the word now. It's so bad. But it's not as obvious. It's
it's subtle.
The other word. Come on, it ain't subtle.
Okay, you ain't got what, covert, overt. You know.
It's when you are. Oh, I'm sorry. It was being passively done.
Oh, passively
done.
Yeah,
it was being passively done.
Okay.
So there's a subtle done, but it's being passively done. They're doing these little things, and then now all of a sudden you've had this emasculation of men. And then, you know, that's why you have, you know, men walking around, straight men supposedly walking around in dresses, saying, hey, this is what they do in Europe. This ain't Europe.
So.
Another show. Okay.
You know what? I think that it's a lot that comes with that. And I think in the upcoming show, especially when we get into 2020, talking about those critical issues where gender is no longer being a priority. It's not something that's acknowledged, it's not something that's differentiated. And so what happens when the laws of the land begin to change, right?
Yeah.
In regards to
yeah.
what goes against human nature, what goes against, you know, biblical principles. So, you know, that's up and coming for 2020.
Even if you take the, and you know, and I know this, you know, you are a therapist who happens to be saved. Right?
Amen.
But at the same time, take the biblical part out. And this is a preacher saying this. Now, take the biblical part out. It's just not even against human nature.
Right.
I mean, it's just against human nature.
Okay.
Right? I know we probably got people of all types watching this show and all that kind of stuff. And you still building an audience. So, you know, you ask that you still care, Faye. And so we don't want to lose no people.
Oh,
but,
goodness.
You know, I mean, the purpose of having the genders was for procreation purposes. And me and Steve can't do that.
Okay, I'm done. Go ahead.
So from a clinical standpoint, and like I said, this is up and coming. It's
mm-hmm.
I think we have to look at both angles of this when we begin to promote things as a culture, as a law.
Absolutely.
How really does that impact one's mental stability, right?
Absolutely.
So I'm on the other side. Well, what happens when, right, a person goes through this? What happens when, you know, there is some mental repercussions
mm-hmm.
To that. So, you know, that's kind of where I am with that. So, again, welcome. You are tuning in to the Healthy Soul Talk Show with your favorite therapist, Dr. Kimberly Thomas. We are definitely going to get into the topic for tonight. Just had to get a couple of fun facts out the way before we jump in there. Again, if you want to call into the show with a comment, you can dial 1-323-870-4375. Press 1 to get in the queue, and then we will definitely go from there. So, you ready? You ready to get into it?
Yeah, I guess. At least, you know, I'm
all right.
I'm ready. I take my medicine, but I'm ready.
There's no medicine for you. We've already discussed it.
I don't know what you were saying.
We've already discussed
it. No, there's no pill, but it's over here.
No, it is not. You are who you are.
Thank you.
Okay, we have to meet you where you are.
Come on.
Okay,
come
and
on.
We shall. All right, so tonight we're talking about psychosis. And you know, this is something that I would say in our culture, one main symptom we do not pay attention to enough, because there's definitely some prevention and intervention, as well as how do you care for people
mm-hmm.
who experience psychotic episodes, or they are actually diagnosed with a mental illness that displays psychosis and psychotic episodes. So I really feel like it's something we need to talk about, we need to understand. At minimum, we need to know what it looks like,
mm-hmm.
right? And,
mm-hmm.
and so some of the dangers in ignoring it and, you know, some of the dangers in not helping a person through an actual episode. So do you really know what a psychosis is?
No, help me out with psychosis. I did, you know, because I'm curious. I did Google it after I got saying earlier, but go ahead and help us out. I don't want to read the Google definition. Give me the educated. I know what I'm talking about.
Well, you know, Google does wonders. So what is psychosis? So the word psychosis is used to describe conditions that affect the mind, right?
Okay.
It's where people have trouble distinguishing between what is real and what is not, okay? So that is psychosis. And so when this occurs, it is called a psychotic episode.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and so when you think about that, psychosis is that term that describes the condition. And so my poll question was, did you know that psychosis is a symptom and not a disease? Right, because many people believe that if you experience hallucinations or delusions, then you're sick. You actually have a disease. You actually cannot recover, right, or lead a normal, healthy lifestyle.
That's the poll question?
Yeah, it was. Well, that was earlier.
Oh, you did that earlier.
Yeah.
How did it turn out?
So, majority said, yes, they knew it was a symptom.
Okay.
Right? Only a couple of people said they didn't know
okay.
it wasn't a
so
disease. And that kind of goes with, you know, how we are trying to get rid of the shame and the stigma associated with these symptoms
mm-hmm.
that we see people have, and not automatically projecting onto them
mm-hmm.
a full-blown mental illness.
Okay.
So two things we're going to talk about is the organic formation of an episode of psychosis, which is a psychotic episode, or drug-induced psychosis, right?
Mm.
So what happens when you take a drug and it takes you to, you know, that imaginary place, all right? So So it says here, the first episode of psychosis is the first time a person experiences it, right? Often it's frightening, it's confusing, it's distressing, and particularly because it's an unfamiliar experience, right? And so when you think about that, the main symptoms of psychosis is what we call positive symptoms, when it adds or distorts a person's normal functioning.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're going to get all this psychoeducation out the way, just so we can kind of dialogue about what that looks like. So within a psychotic episode or a condition of psychosis, you have delusions.
Okay.
All right, delusions are false beliefs that are firmly held and are out of keeping with the person's culture or environment. Right? And so you may say, well, what does that mean? Right? What does that look like? So there are a couple of examples here of delusions. So we said they're fixed false beliefs. They cannot be corrected by logic and are not consistent with the culture and education of the person. Okay? Now, I wanted to point out here the importance of identifying culture, because we know that although we live in America, people still hold on to cultural practices and beliefs.
Yes.
Right? And so when we diagnose people, up until what we call the DSM-5 came out, we were not as culturally sensitive and aware when we diagnosed people. So we were diagnosing them with hallucinations and delusional symptoms, but really it could have been a part of some ritual. It could have been a part of some traditional, or it could have been accepted in that person's culture in itself.
Help us out with the DSM-5.
So the DSM-5 is what we use to clinically diagnose someone. It's our mental health rule book to say.
What does DSM stand for?
Diagnostic Mental Illness Rule Book.
Okay, so okay. That's necessarily master anyway. Just checking.
All right.
Because it's a diagnostic manual, right? And it's the 5th edition.
Oh, got it. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So it's a diagnostic manual where we say, according to these this criteria,
mm-hmm.
for this amount of time, you fit this illness.
Mm.
All right.
Okay.
So it's a pretty thick book.
Okay.
So prior to that, we really didn't take in cultural considerations.
Mm-hmm.
Now we do. Right. And that's actually in the book.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And so when we talk about delusions, I'm going to give a couple of delusions and let me know what you think about that.
Oh,
right.
Come on.
Because let me put this out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anybody to diagnose themselves or anybody around them.
Say that again for the certain people that are listening and watching. Because there's some who, think they're something like a doctor because they know one. And we want to make sure that they're not over here diagnosing somebody with name, right?
Yeah, we don't want you to, start your checklist going and calling folks saying,
right.
I think you're delusional. I think,
right.
Just something
lady on
is...
Facebook just said you delusional.
So it's just for, what they say, this is for informational purposes only.
There
please
you
see your doctor,
right.
A psychiatric physician.
Take your mouth and go to sleep.
Okay, then. All right, here we go. So the first type of delusion is delusion of control.
Mm.
All right? This is a false belief that another person, group of people, or external force controls one's thoughts, feelings, impulses, and behaviors.
Mm.
All right? And so thinking about that, I'll repeat that. It's a false belief that another person, group of people, or external forces control one's thoughts, feelings, impulses, or behaviors. A person may describe this as the experience that aliens actually make him or her move in certain ways and that the person affected has no control over their bodily movements. Got it? All right. And so, so with that comes thought broadcasting, right? The false belief that the affected person's thoughts are heard out loud. Okay? And so another example of this is the belief that an outside force or person or group of people is removing or extracting a person's thoughts. What are your thoughts right now?
So I got so many thoughts. If I share my thoughts, somebody gonna come here try to pick me up and take me up out of here.
So this is one element, right? So we describe that as this person is verbalizing. This person is literally making statements that a group of people or another person or another group, right, it is literally controlling their thoughts, feelings, impulses, and behaviors.
So this is just for clarity, this is different than someone who is hypnotized.
Yes. No. Yeah.
Because hypnosis also is
you are hypnotized. That's an actual process that you can go through.
That is a semblance of mind control, is it not?
Yes, but that is intentional.
Intentional.
Right. We're talking about
that means you voluntarily allow somebody to hypnotize you.
Right.
This thing is talking about
what is going on in your mind that's telling you that
somebody else is controlling you.
Another force is controlling your thoughts, your behaviors, and your impulses. All right,
that ain't like telekinesis, but they don't need it at all.
No, because you're very specific.
Okay.
Right? So it's not generalized. It's not,
okay.
So the way I just read it,
yes.
That's not the way the person presents.
Got it.
So this person is saying, hey, aliens control when I go to the bathroom. So when they say go to the bathroom, I need to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
The restroom. Okay. Got it?
Okay.
Right? And so you may see that and you may say, okay, what is the issue where they're saying they have no control over when they go?
Okay.
All right. So the next one is delusion of guilt or sin. Mm-hmm. Right. This is a false feeling of remorse or guilt of delusional intensity. A person may believe that he or she has committed some horrible crime and should be punished severely. All right. Mm-hmm. Another example is a person who is convinced that he or she is responsible for some disaster, such as a fire, flood, or earthquake, which there can be no possible connection.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to understand, what we're going to talk about hallucinations, right? Mm-hmm. So the key difference here is everything we're talking about, it exists, right? So we have to think there are things that where, you know, there is a such thing as someone controlling another person's behavior, the parent-child relationship.
Right.
So with delusions, we have to assess whether or not it is true,
mm-hmm.
right? Meaning mm-hmm. we basically said that it can't be corrected by logic and it is not consistent with the culture or education of the person.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So that's where we are with that is how do you deal with someone who literally believes that, an earthquake or a natural disaster is their fault?
Hmm.
Right, something they did, something, you know.
So these are real delusions people actually.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
To the extent where it interrupts their day to day.
Their life.
And this is what this is where, we definitely get into how we offend people.
Okay.
Who experience these things because when you're dealing with delusions,
mm-hmm.
this is very distressing. This is very stressful
mm-hmm.
when you're trying to live, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have this delusion. You feel this sense of guilt. You feel, okay, I can't even control my own thoughts because this element does. How do I make it stop?
Hmm.
Right? So when we joke about, oh, you're just delusional, right? We hear that in relationships sometimes. It's like, if you really only knew what that actually meant in the turmoil that people go through.
Yeah.
All right. So then we have another one here, and then we'll move on to hallucinations. We have persecutory delusions.
Okay.
All right. Persecutory delusions. These are the most common type of delusions and involve the theme of being followed, harassed, cheated, poisoned, or drugged, conspired against, spied on, attacked, or obstructed in the pursuit of goals. Right? This false belief, for an example, he or she is being followed by a government organization because, the persecuted person has been falsely identified as a spy. Now, a lot of times we've seen these in movies, right? Mm-hmm. We've seen these type of people, in movies where, you know, it's all in their mind, or, you know, we kind of play out the scene of being followed, where there actually are people who walk around believing that the government is out to get them. They can look at the TV and they can say, you know, that anchor man is talking to me right now,
mm-hmm.
right? And they begin to take on personally these delusions about being persecuted, like you're out to get me, you're out to attack me, right? And so that's serious, right? Because no one wants to walk around believing that everybody is out to get them.
That's,
wow.
Okay. So everybody is out to get you. That's the mindset.
Everybody or a specific entity, right? So the government is always a clear one. I've had a situation where this person indicated that the government was controlling their thoughts through the remote control.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you may say, okay, wait, you know, how does a person get in that mindset?
Mm-hmm.
But this is a person who can't watch TV. This is a person, right, who feels like it goes beyond that, because we're talking about, you know, the airwaves. We're talking about, you know, all this technology where through this platform.
That's why the people are wearing aluminum foil on their
head. That's exactly what that is.
And what is this called again? Persecutory what?
Persecutory delusion.
Delusion, which is what? Or delusion, got it, okay.
Okay, it's just a delusion right now.
Delusion, right now.
Right, you got to be diagnosed for those disorders. All right, so everybody with me? You know, give me some thumbs up. You know, let me know you're still out there and what's working, what's not working. Sometimes this can be a tough thing to talk about, right? Can you imagine talking about this in the community, right? What this is, what it looks like, and definitely we're going to get into how it happens. How does this evolve? You know, do you even see it coming?
Yeah, but it's interesting, though. I mean, I ain't going to be funny because our live mic go off, but
what?
Because it might be cut off, because I believe this is somebody sitting in the White House who has persecutory delusions, thinking that everybody is out to get him. Well, you know, stop committing crimes. But anyway, there you go. You have some people I want to say hello to, because you have two, since you decided to put a watch party up.
Thank you.
Marvelline Preston.
Oh, hey, Marvelline. Thank you for joining us.
I said her name right. Bless the Lord.
You did.
Irma Winston.
Hi, Irma.
Llewellyn.
That's my cousin.
Crystal Bennett Kyles.
Hello, Pastor Kyles.
That's who's in the watch party.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
All right, so those are delusions, right? We say they are fixed, false beliefs that cannot be corrected by logic, right? Meaning that you cannot convince this person that it's not the case, all right? And they're not consistent with the culture or education of the client, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we understand that delusions, these are symptoms that add to or distort a person's normal functioning.
Mm-hmm.
So this symptom is not kept silent.
Okay.
They will let you know what's going on in their mind. And so that's kind of where we are with this, is when you genuinely listen to people, right, and they have these episodes going on, you have to make a decision, right? Mm-hmm. And that's hard sometimes, because it's like, do you leave the person, right, in this delusional state,
mm-hmm.
or do you actually walk them through the process of getting help, meaning going to a mental health facility or obtaining psychiatric help? And, you know, that's further down the line. What we've discussed is, will they ever go back to a normal state of mind? Right? And these people, they're not scary people. A lot of people treat them as though, you know, they're terror or you know, somehow they're contagious. Right? You can't catch delusions.
Okay.
It's not something,
right,
you know, delusions can't rub off on.
Crazy don't, I mean, I'm sorry, delusions don't
don't rub off on you?
They don't.
Okay.
All right. And so we have religious delusions here,
uh-oh,
too. Okay,
uh-oh,
this is the last one. Then we're moving on to
religious delusions.
We have religious delusions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And these are any delusion with a religious or spiritual content. This may be combined with other delusions, such as grandiose, which is the arrogant, the belief that the affected person was chosen by God, and delusions of control or guilt. This belief would be considered normal for an individual's religious or cultural background are not delusions. So people who believe that they are equal with God, right? People who believe that, you know, some people who believe they are the Savior, some people who really believe that they are the highest ranking angel, right? That they have come to do.
So somebody said they thinking they Gabriel or Michael. That's what you're saying.
Well, if they identify those names, yes. But
well, I mean, that's Michael will be the archangel.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
And then there are some people who, you know, this is unfortunate because if they really take on the sense that they're God, then they do things to prove to themselves that they are God. So you have those who, we would say, suicidal because they thought they could fly over the sky. They thought, which ended with them, you know, jumping off a building or walking on water, whatever it is that they feel like as God they should be able to do.
Just, okay. So they shouldn't try to walk on water, what you mean?
No.
But you know.
But they believe they can, right? So.
That's because Peter did.
Okay.
We just gonna let that go. We're not going to address Peter walking on water. What did he walk on water?
Because can Dana say he walks on water?
Huh?
Can Dana walk on water?
No, I know there are those who probably believe that I can, but I just want to go and put this out there.
Oh, my goodness.
I want to clear this up right now. I'm unable. That is outside of my purview of.
Yeah. Let me find that delusional symptom on here.
I don't have that. There are those who. What about the delusion?
Grandiose delusion.
What about the one about people putting delusions on you?
What?
Is that one where people can cast their thoughts on you? Like they believe stuff and about you that's just not.
You talking about prophecy?
No, I'm talking about prophecy. I'm talking about people casting their delusions, what they believe. That's
another term, terms of projection.
Right.
Right? They are projecting something out on
you. Not astral projecting, but.
No, projecting.
Okay.
All right, so we got it. Those are some types of delusion there. So now let's get into hallucinations.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. Again, we're in the first phase of a psychotic episode.
Right.
Okay, so a person can experience delusion and hallucinations at the same time, meaning, you know, as they're going through the episode, or it could be one or the other, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So hallucinations are false sensory perceptions, all right? Experience without real external stimuli. So before, right, you had to see something on TV to associate they were out to get you.
Mm-hmm.
Got it? So there's
mm-hmm.
something external that's contributing to the delusion.
Okay.
Got it? Hallucination, nothing has to be going on. All right? So this is what it's meant by without real external stimuli. They are usually experienced as originating in the outside world, not within the mind as imagination. Okay, and so there are some types of hallucinations here where we say, okay, unfortunately, those tragedies where they were hearing voices to tell them to do things.
Mm.
All right, and this is very real. Okay, so I want to start with auditory hallucinations.
Auditory.
This is hearing voices.
Okay.
Right, most common, affecting about 3 or 4 out of, I think, 10 schizophrenia patients, meaning that them hearing voices to the point where it tells them to do something. Now, I don't want anybody to think that everybody who experiences auditory hallucinations, that the voices are telling them to go out and harm someone, right? But when you think about hallucinations, you're not hearing your own voice.
Hmm.
okay? You're hearing other voices, so they're distinct voices. So they can be a female voice, a male voice. Pitches of the voices are different, so you can't associate it with anybody that's around you. Does that make sense? And this is all in your head. So a person can have hallucinations, auditory hallucinations, so loud that they can't have conversations with real people themselves.
Okay.
Right, and I've seen this before, especially those who, and this is where the shame and the stigma comes in terms of they really won't tell you they're hearing voices, mm-hmm. right? But when you're talking to them, they shift off, they thrift off, right? They drift off, they go into where they may be looking at, you know, the ceiling or down at the floor, or their head turn. You ever seen someone where their head turn as if they hear something, but it's not towards you? That's literally because sometimes the voices are so loud that it's distracting. If only you all can see what my producer is doing as we talk about this vulnerable topic here. All right? And so, again, imagine a person with hallucinations.
I can't.
So.
I'm sorry.
People with auditory hallucinations sometimes get very frustrated. Because they can't turn them off.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
So you talk about lack of sleep. We're going to talk about drugs in a few minutes. Like you really think about them trying to either eliminate the voices, turn the voices down, make them stop for a period of time. It's almost like they go into a by any means necessary approach, right, to get rid of the voices, you know. And so when the voices are talking directly to you, that's a whole nother level of intensity. Sometimes people just report where the voices are, they're just having conversations with each other. But then you have voices who actually want the attention of the person,
okay.
which prohibits them from having, you know, genuine conversations with actual human beings. All right? All right. So then we have tactile hallucinations.
What is that again?
Tactile, like touching.
Tingling,
electrical,
okay.
burning sensation.
Tactile. T-A-C-T. Tactile. Interesting word. Okay.
All right. So some people feel a crawling sensation on their skin. As it states here, a burning sensation of the skin. Again, this is overwhelming for the person. It's not a 30-second event. This is for a prolonged period of time. All right. So really understanding, you know, we said earlier, you know, I don't want anybody trying to diagnose themselves or you know, calling folks, talking about something, you know, I figured it out, what's wrong with you, right? We're just talking about this particular symptom here that identifies these types of hallucinations, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have the tactile, and it's, remember we said a hallucination is not stimulated by anything external, okay? So typically there's nothing going on around the person for them to, you know, get that sense of or identify that this has actually happened to me. So in other words, nothing is crawling on their skin, nothing hot is touching them, their circulation is okay, so they shouldn't be feeling, you know, having this tingling sensation. So really understanding that this is all in a person's mind, okay? The next hallucination we have here is visual hallucinations.
Mm.
All right? And this is just really seeing things that are not there.
Okay.
All right? And so, again, this is a tough one because what do you do when a person say, hey, did you just see that? right? Or, hey, did you just see that run across the floor? Hey, you know, who's that person standing right there, right? But this is real for some people in terms of when you see people talking to themselves, or we say they're talking to themselves, they actually could be having a visual hallucination of seeing another person there to talk to. And I've actually seen this where there is an empty chair next to a person. I've seen this in a public place. And they were actually talking. Like, and I want to say this. You genuinely know when a person has hallucinations. This is not an act. It's a break out of reality. And it's real. So you definitely will know and be able to assess a person who's having visual hallucinations. It's so pure, if that makes sense. It's so genuine, and it's not, you know, looking at who's around them. So there, it's like proceeding as if it's a normal day for them. So you just gonna start mocking, you know, how this looks, and just totally. He's just turned away from the mic right now, so I'm just talking to my listeners right here. So my listeners, so welcome Anton, welcome Tina, welcome Marissa, Shante, hey, how you doing? Crystal, thank you for joining us. We're just getting into the topic here, talking about psychosis and be imaginational, or you know, a distorted.
So that would be different from a child who what's the difference between that and a child who has an imaginary friend? Just help us out.
So I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay.
So we know that imaginary play is normal,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's something where we say we read books, right? So in our books, we express to use creativity, imagination. What are your thoughts? Let's think outside the box,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's an age where we say we should no longer be doing imaginary play. Right?
Oh,
so we grow out of imaginary play. So I'll give you an example because this is a tough one. So tea time, right? We set the table up, little girls sit at the table,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
By the time they're in seventh, eighth grade, we don't really expect them to be sitting at the same little tea table, right?
They can sit at the dining room table. No. Okay.
By then, they should be having tea with someone, right? Or in essence, and I've seen this, and I'll go very serious with this. Most children who experience sexual trauma disassociate. We mean by that is disconnect from reality to keep from thinking about that sexual violation. A part of that comes into play when you talk about hallucinations,
mm-hmm.
meaning they've created this safety
mm-hmm.
of, you know, this mental safety, if you will,
okay.
where these are the people that keeps them safe from those thoughts.
Wow. Okay.
Right? It's not a high percentage, but I have, you know, worked with children, and that was prolonged, meaning that the sexual trauma happened a year or so time later or
mm-hmm.
earlier,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's something where no one knew, no one addressed, but they did.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have some situations in school where now this child is just, they're not active, but they're not present in the classroom either.
Wow.
So like, what's wrong?
Wow.
So you ask the right questions, you get the right answers.
Okay.
Right? So yes, our kids can experience hallucinations as well. All right? And then we have olfactory, O-L-F-A-C-T-O-R-Y,
mm-hmm.
hallucinations.
Okay.
These are sensing odors that are not present, right? So burning smells, you know, nothing's cooking, but, you know, it's an extreme, you know, smell of something, right, that literally stops you from what you're doing. You can go all day, right? Addressing these hallucinations of smells.
So when I'm smelling rib tips in the middle of the day, that's a hallucination. Is what you're telling me? I'm hallucinating the smell of rib tips, or am I just hungry?
So we use the term loosely, right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So remember, hallucinations disrupt your functioning.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Do you go looking through the building for real tips?
I do kind of go walking through the hallway to see what the smell is leading me. Hope, but it never, like, you know, results in anything. Or either that, or I just missed it. I believe the rib tips were real, though.
Okay, but we're talking about where it's not real.
But I never found the rib tips.
Just because they didn't want to share with you.
That means the possibility that I was hallucinating.
No, that means you weren't invited to the rib tip party.
No, I can invite all of them. I can invite all of the shindigs.
Unbelievable.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know, when you think about that and how this works out,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's difficult,
yeah,
right? You know,
yeah.
it's very difficult. You know, I really want people to understand that real people go through these symptoms, right?
Mm-hmm.
We even have gustatory, which is gustatory,
mm-hmm.
which is the experience of a taste that is not present and frequently is bitter or strong. So it involves a person spitting out their food or beverage, refusing to eat, drink, or take medicine.
What?
Right? And so really,
what is that one called?
Gustatory. gustatory.
Oh, gustatory.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So really, really thinking about that, and so I put some observable behavior. So we said with that one,
mm-hmm.
you know, a bitter taste, a strong taste where people are spitting out food, refusing to eat, drink, or take medicine. This is a prolonged period of time,
mm-hmm.
right? So this is not a one-time occasion. This is not, okay, I did this for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
This is all day, every day for a prolonged period of time. We're talking about an episode,
mm-hmm.
right? And so... even when you're hearing voices, we talked about you're looking at a person, their eyes are moving back and forth, right? Looking
mm-hmm.
to see who or what is talking,
mm-hmm.
right? And remind you, this is not necessarily a person is seeing someone, or even if someone is there, they're actually looking around trying to figure out who is talking because the voices are there in their head,
mm-hmm.
all right? And so, you know, thinking about that whole aspect, especially with tactile,
mm-hmm.
right, they can slap themselves,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right, as if they're putting out a fire, right? They're tearing their skin. They're really scratching themselves because they feel the biting sensation. They feel, right, that something is crawling in their skin. So this is the extreme of that is when we talk about a dysfunction in someone's life,
mm-hmm.
they're going through measures to address the hallucination.
And this is the ones we're talking about now. These are the non-drug induced ones.
These are non-drug induced.
Okay. Because the crackhead that's scratching
okay.
on himself, that's because of that's the withdrawal from the.
I'm just making sure I'm on the right page.
I'm trying to make sure it might be a.
You know what.
It might be a crackhead that's watching, or a former crackhead that might want to understand that, you know, his or her issues were because of the medication and not because of the...
Right. Yeah. And we often hear that, right?
Right.
So, you know, when you think about that, we can get into talking about those drugs that causes hallucination. A lot of time you listen to the commercials and they say, hey, may cause, you know, delusions or hallucinations.
Right.
That's true, right? That means that someone reported that, you know, while taking this drug,
mm-hmm.
right? So, but
mm-hmm.
we're going to talk about, you know, the street drugs primarily.
Okay.
Those who, you know, get you to that place instantly.
Okay.
All right. So we have some psychedelic drugs.
Oh.
Right? Which drugs which alter mood, behavior, thought, and perception. Okay? And so we call them hallucinogens.
Hallucinogens.
That's actually a category
yes.
of drugs.
Yes.
Hallucinogens.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
And these drugs affect the brain.
Mm.
They partially work by temporarily disrupting communication between the brain chemical system throughout the brain and the spinal cord. Right, and so it interferes with the brain, such as the pain perception, responses to the environment, emotion, mm-hmm. learning, memory, all of that stuff. Okay, mm-hmm. it interferes with the action of the serotonin, which regulates our mood, sleep, hunger, body temperature, and muscle control, right, with PCP, right?
Mm.
Those who take PCP, you know, we know them to take off their clothes.
Now, PCP.
Don't ask, you know.
No, I'm just curious, because was that drug designed for something else, and it started being used illegally, or was it always, is it just something that's literally, that's always been illegal?
For me, it's been illegal in the terms of...
what purpose was it made for? I mean, what I guess I should look that up or something. But
yeah, I don't think it was made for in terms of what we call a mental health condition. It's so, not a psychotropic medication.
So it was never made for medication purposes.
It's not, right. It's
wow.
not, yeah. So,
okay.
so
okay.
You know, obviously it's used out on the street a lot.
Right,
you know, but it's one of those drugs where... you either feel like you're hot, you're on fire, right?
Okay.
And these individuals that I've seen driving down the street, they have no sense of where they are, right? So it takes you out of mind, out of body. And I've seen people strip, right? Not,
right.
Oops, I'm down to my underwear, let me stop.
Right.
We've had to call, you know, for, you know, paramedics to
right,
come
so
and assist them.
Right, so they can get some juice injected.
right.
Yeah,
okay. We also have LSD, right?
Make sure it's right. What
you're
talking about.
So, it's actually found in a fungus that grows on rye. And, of course, you know, we've designed it to where... you know, we take it recreationally.
So is LSD a mushroom?
It's
a fungus.
Yeah, but those are not shrooms.
Oh, they're not shrooms.
Shrooms, right,
okay.
right. So
so like Indians do this thing called peyote. I'm sorry, Native Americans. Sorry. But they have a
is it used to take them to another place?
Yes.
Right. So here's what we have to take into consideration.
Okay.
That's acceptable in their culture.
Right. Like smoking on a peace pipe. Smoking on a...
I got to come back with some more info. You're throwing some
stuff out there. I'm asking a question. These things come to my brain. I have to say something that comes to my brain, otherwise I'll forget.
So some, you know, we have seeds, we have stuff that's crushed up,
right,
that we smoke,
right.
Happy
sticks.
We have meth, right?
Oh yeah.
And so some of these drugs though, you have to be monitored closely because when you're coming out of, right, the hallucin or the delusion, you can become erratic. Right.
Okay.
You know, there are a couple of well-known cases where a couple had used meth, and it was wintertime, and they drove way out from where they lived at into a field.
Oh no.
Called the police to say they were stranded and that people were after them. Right. Blizzard outside. They got out the truck and started walking, and they froze to death.
Outside.
Because they said that people in the truck were out to get them.
But this was a hallucination caused by
they were the only two.
Wow.
And so they went on to say that meth is such a powerful drug because with those two individuals, they would have survived had they stayed in the truck because they had a full tank of gas. But they gave the wrong address to the police as well. So where they say they were, they were not, right? So their sense of location, time was off as well. And so when you think about, you know, drug-induced hallucinations, you may say, well, what's the gratification in that? Right? Why do people want to go to that place, right? A drug-induced state. And so, unfortunately, this is a euphoric for some people, you know? Countless, you know, people that I've connected with who have done such hallucinogens, or there's some cannabinoids that gives you a heightened sense of paranoia, right? We like mixing stuff. So some people enjoy the thrill of hallucinations,
mm-hmm.
right? You hear people say, you know, I was so high, or, you know, I was out of there. They remember some parts, or now we're videotaping ourselves, right, under such drugs.
Mm-hmm.
We're popping a lot of pills, right? So a lot of things are going on, but I have to put this out there that we have some people who are doing these drugs and never returning back to their original state of cognitive status.
So is that what, what's the one that possibly kills people? Is that with the ecstasy? Is that what that one
that
is? Is ecstasy the one that takes that sometimes people take it one time and they don't?
Well, so generally when that happens, they mixed it with alcohol. So
right.
Roofies, you're talking about the roofies.
Whatever, I don't
care. Yeah, so what happens with, and that's the other thing too, is that, you know, you always say when you go to a social event, a party, keep your drink with you.
Or if you leave it there. Put it down, leave it there.
So really looking at the mixing of the drugs, right? So you have a hallucinogen, right? Ecstasy or LSD, whatever it is, and alcohol,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is a depressant,
yeah.
right? It does other things. So really you have those adverse reactions of those
okay.
drugs happening,
okay.
hence their chemical
right.
balance in the brain.
Because ecstasy does something to the brain already.
Yeah, it's a heightened sense drug. It
oh.
takes you to,
okay.
you know, a psychedelic place where, you know, a very popular drug.
Okay.
I've had people who, I just take a half a pill versus a whole pill, and I have those who say I take 2 to 3 pills, right?
Mm-hmm.
So really, if your body gets immune to it, or you know, a half a pill won't work anymore, right?
Oh, really?
Right? Yeah. So for some people, they've taken it for so long, or who knows now? I don't even think we're making oddly to say this, ecstasy. Like it was back in the day. We have a lot of people mixing a whole bunch of pills together and creating their own pill.
Mm.
Right? So there's a website that I tend to keep up with where they list all the names of pills. Right? So for and I know a lot of educators probably know this in terms of, so we have Instagram, Batman's, we have Sneakers, with Snickers, we have Chip Ahoy, we have Doritos. These are names of pills that our kids take.
Pills called Batman?
Yes.
What is the Batman pill then?
Takes you to another place.
Oh, it don't turn you into Batman?
Somebody might think that after taking a pill.
Oh, I was going to try to get a pill and see if it's...
Oh, God.
Work.
Oh, my God.
And these are forms of ecstasy or...
Yeah. X-pills. And then they really can't promote it as ecstasy because they're recreating the pills.
The only ecstasy I know was my man. Yeah, the wife said, when we met, get right in. What you had in store, there for
oh my God.
Me. Surely you knew he took off. Ecstasy.
That's the only one I know.
All right. So that's kind of where we are. We have drug-induced psychotic symptoms, right? And then we have those who, you know, we call it organic, right? Organic
mm-hmm.
means that it developed on its own. It developed, right, from a chemical imbalance just in your brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we often, I want to distinguish between drug-induced psychotic episodes and organic psychotic episodes. Drug-induced psychosis has been associated more with suicidal thoughts, dangerous and violent behavior, hospitalizations, and arrest.
Mm.
Right? And so when you think about that, you know, for me, as a clinician working with substance use treatment disorders, to drive down the street
mm-hmm.
in certain areas are saturated, you know, with these drug-induced psychotic drugs, it's concerning,
mm-hmm.
right? Because number one, this person is out there alone. They can be attacked, right? They can attack someone.
Mm-hmm.
They can overdose, right? Hence, they end up being hospitalized,
mm-hmm.
only to return out there to do it again, right? And so, you know, the suicidal thoughts and then being arrested. So guess what? When you get arrested and have to go into the jail,
mm-hmm.
you have to sober up
right
there.
Right.
So whatever you feel, how you feel it, you coming out of that feeling everything.
Mm.
Okay? And so we often say that asking people, you know, have you taken anything? Right? What color was it? What did it look like? Was it a liquid? Right? We still do the happy stick thing. And, you know, we do all of that still today. We still do the, you know, cocaine mixed with heroin.
Heroin.
Can't. Not. All right. So.
My late great grandmother couldn't say she could never get the word narcotic out. She could never say it because I had an uncle that was a crackhead or whatever you want to call it, and she could never get the word out. So she would be trying to say cocaine and narcotic, and it would always come out, and she would yell at him, and she would be like, you know, you on that? I know you on that narcotic.
I'm not saying nothing.
So, keep riding on that 19. I know there's a bunch of y'all around here. Right. That's what's wrong with some of these kids right now.
Yeah.
Their parents are on that
19. And that's the thing, too. Education is key.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you have a child that's born with narcotics or any other type of drug in their system, they crave that drug.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that's their first introduction to substance use. Right,
yeah.
in the womb.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And so that's very sad, which I think more work and more resources are needed for that. All right. So what we take away from this, right? First of all, let's work our way back. So understanding we're getting into the holiday season, right? We have people celebrating, but yet we have people coping.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we see our highest peak of substance use going on around this time. We don't know if it's because, you know, the weather's changed, you know, people, you know, they're around more people, whatever it is, drug use is going up. So we have to put this out there. If you take these type of drugs
mm-hmm.
that produce hallucinations and delusions,
mm-hmm.
get help.
Mm.
Right? Because at this point, the word is not getting out fast enough of how we're mixing drugs,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So you may think that you are buying one type of drug. We do a lot of drug testing, and people are like, well, I only take this drug. I only, you know, smoke marijuana. I only, you know, drink alcohol, smoke cigarettes. Well, we have people, you know, dipping their cigarettes, right? We have people, you know, doing things, right, with the drugs that they're selling, or, you know, they don't have to be selling, they're sharing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So really understanding that while you think you are taking one drug, you can very well beginning an addiction to multiple drugs.
Like in Friday when when Smokey thought he was just smoking and it was mixed with some anger dust.
Yeah. And you're never the same because it's a phenomenon in a way. We don't know why it happens to some people and not others. So you have to be careful, right? Some things are irreversible at this point. And I have people who, you know, and especially dealing with the epidemic on the west side, you know, in the surrounding areas, we see people where they don't get help until years late,
mm-hmm.
right? So they've had these prolonged symptoms that have, you know, intensified, it got worse
mm-hmm.
because they didn't get that intervention at the point where they had those psychedelic drugs,
hmm.
right? All right, so that's first and foremost is please understand that right now is not working in your favor to take drugs that induce hallucinations or delusions,
hmm.
all right? Now, we talk about people who don't do substances, don't do drugs, and they experience these hallucinations. There are some things you can start to look out for
mm-hmm.
to see your body changing, right? The mind is changing. And so we often say that these are subtle. We talked about subtle signs earlier. Subtle signs of your mind changing or your mind shifting is social withdrawal, from usual activities, sleep disturbances. You become more suspicious, more irritable, more in a depressed mood. You kind of shine away from places like work, school, or things that brought you happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's an intense focus on particular ideas that may seem odd or disturbing to others. Now, a lot of people don't recognize these symptoms because they can contribute it to stress, right?
Uh-huh.
And so we have to understand that. You say, well, how does one, you know, get a full-blown episode?
Mm-hmm.
Being stressed out, right, can contribute to psychosis, right? Physical stress such as irregular sleep, binge drinking, of course, use of street drugs, poor routine, poor diet, physical sickness, all these things can alter what? The mind functioning,
yes.
Right? The brain functioning.
Yes.
So you begin to have hallucinations. You begin to experience delusions. Environmental stresses, such as inadequate housing. We know there's a lot of homeless people,
mm-hmm.
right, who experience, I mean, just thinking about that,
right.
It's inevitable.
Right.
Right, it's inevitable. The constant changing and lack of sleep and wondering who's over you, and to some extent that's normal, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're sleeping at a shelter with hundreds of other people.
Mm-hmm.
You just about got to sleep with 1 hour, right?
Right.
Lack of social support, unemployment, major life changes. These are all things that can severely impact a person's mood and begin to weigh on their mental stability.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so looking at that, you say, okay. We get into what's called the acute phase,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is the active phase of the psychotic episode, right? This is where the hallucinations kick in, the delusions kick in, disorganized thinking,
mm-hmm.
lack of concentration. Sometimes we even blow this off, right? And so you may say, okay, I need to get some sleep, right? But you can't sleep because your mind is racing,
mm-hmm.
right? Or you are thinking of things that's not there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and so then this phase can last for a prolonged period of time, right, because this is the actual phase of the positive psychotic symptoms, like we said, the delusions and hallucinations,
mm-hmm.
all right? And so you may say, okay, what do I do? I think this is a conversation that we need to take more interest in,
okay.
right, because by the time that this person gets to the hospital, they are being hospitalized for up to 2-3 weeks until they become stabilized.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that we live with some individuals who are exhibiting, right, these
mm-hmm.
mild forms of symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to help them, right? And it's hard, right, because how do you convince someone that they may need psychiatric help,
right,
because they're
right.
stressed out or because
right.
I don't see what you see, right? How long do we play this out? How long do we let you go on with the hallucination, right, hearing voices? Is it safe to talk about at home,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's the other thing is really have we opened the door for people to be able to share, okay, what if I am having tactile hallucinations? What if I am, you know, having these grandiose delusions? Have we made it safe for people to actually talk about this in their home,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's where we are today is open up the discussion at home, right? Pay attention to your teenagers. Pay attention to your spouses, your loved ones,
mm-hmm.
especially after trauma,
okay.
right? You know, if you in the other direction is if you know someone does drugs, right, do drugs, yeah, you need to be watching them because you may say, well, okay, I know when you're high, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know when that's not the regular high.
Mm-hmm.
Right, there's no such thing with hallucinations and psychedelic drugs or PCP or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sleep this stuff off.
Wow.
Right, and that's how you know when we think about substance use treatment. Do you hospitalize someone or outpatient? Typically, we're at a stage where we miss that window of opportunity,
mm-hmm.
right, to get some alternative forms of treatment there. When they've been introduced to these psychedelic drugs,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's like, oh, I've heard people say, you got the good stuff tonight. And it's like, wow, it's the good stuff, but this person is far out there with delusions, paranoia, hallucinations, and now they have not returned back to their original state before they took the drug.
Wow.
Right. So I think we definitely have to take this more serious, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about just this particular series. So, you know, that's kind of where we were with this, you know.
Wow.
Defining what it is, right? Psychosis is a condition,
mm-hmm.
You know, and psychotic episode, psychosis is the actual experience, all right? And so hopefully, you know, we can take this back to, you know, our home, talk about it with our kids, right? Because our kids are, you know, experiencing things,
yeah.
Right? We have to keep that real, right? That mm-hmm. there's some conversations we need to have before YouTube, before they get to a video that's
right.
going to encourage them
right.
To make them think that this is normal or this is a state of being,
mm-hmm.
right? Especially with those drugs.
This has been very enlightening.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, I know I don't want to crack a joke right there, but no, seriously. It's like it gives you some insight into the whole, you know, when we think of, and you said this at the beginning, when you think of delusions, we have our own, you know, we prejudge the thought or the comment.
Right.
So we hear delusions, you're like, oh, Lord, here we go, you know. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, there's so much more to it. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'll wait till the end of the show because I have some questions. Some people ask me some questions.
Oh, okay. Well,
not about this stuff. So. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well.
No, we had people ask not questions, but there are a lot of comments about last week's show.
Okay. Well.
Intimacy and abuse.
Here we go.
It was just that people like they were kind of shocked.
Okay.
About some of the things that you listed as abuse. So, I was like, wow. So yeah, even me and Kat Behar watched talked about it last night. So yeah, it was interesting. So yeah, you're still getting feedback from that.
Yes.
Show.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just want the takeaway to be,
yeah.
right? My motive, my goal
mm-hmm.
is for us to be exposed to symptoms that we don't pay attention to and or get treated.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is manageable.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I did not get into disorders,
mm-hmm.
right? Because, you know, that's a whole nother, you know, that's another road to travel, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this symptom is chronic in our area. So I encourage you all to pay attention to that and don't be afraid to talk about it. Don't be afraid to walk with a person through medical attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, even our kids experience it as well, our teenagers. Right? They don't know what they're smoking. They don't know what pills they're popping.
Mm-hmm.
So don't just say go sleep it off. There's no such thing as sleep it off. Right? Get them help. All right? All right. So technically, that was that discussion. I hope it's okay for some people. And,
yeah.
you know, I think silence is good. I like to learn a lot myself and, you know, absorb what's going on. I say being a clinician has helped me greatly as a parent,
mm-hmm.
Because especially with the type of audience or the type of clientele that I've been exposed to over the years, it's definitely slowed me down as
a
parent.
Are you always analyzing your? Are you always?
Absolutely not.
You sure?
I'm so serious.
Okay, you're not always diagnosing. That's it. Diagnosing.
No.
Okay. Okay.
No, they make sure I don't do that.
Okay.
They make sure that I do not do that.
Okay.
All right. So what's some questions we have from, or what were some of the comments?
No, it was just that, you know, like it was the whole thing about asking the partner to do stuff that they normally would not do because that whole situation, and it was just some interesting conversation. So I said that at some point I'm sure we'll.
Yes.
You'll end up there in some other fashion or form at some other time. And so just to be prepared. And
yes. We're about to journey through the holidays.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
So all that is about to come out. You know, a lot of stuff comes out around this time. It's definitely the highest season for DUIs and domestic violence. So that's why I'm traveling this route. Because it's the peak season, right?
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's the peak season for that.
Okay.
So so next week, you know, Elder,
mm-hmm.
we talking about beer, wine, and spirits.
Beer, wine, and spirits. Oh my.
I gotta help somebody not get a DUI this season, all right? Ooh. So we gonna go in there before Thanksgiving comes around, right? Everybody gonna know what a standard drink is,
uh-huh.
The difference between a beer, a wine, and a spirit, all right? It
mm-hmm.
is not on every building, you know, that sells liquor,
mm-hmm.
right? To be fancy,
mm-hmm.
okay? So we're gonna talk about the beer, the wine, and the spirits.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
beer. Wine and spirits.
Okay. All right.
When are we doing that?
Next week.
Oh, that's next week.
That's next week.
We will have. I will have samples.
What?
For educational purposes. I believe you should have. Tanya, are you still listening, watching, wherever you are? I believe we should have products.
Oh, God.
We can remove the labels because we ain't trying to get nobody for free advertisement. But I believe we should have some examples for a clinical study. There we go.
A clinic? Really? How many people do you plan on inviting?
Oh, I'm just going to.
You're the sample.
I'm going to be the. I'm going to sacrifice myself. For the people.
Now, I was going to bring the different, you know, wine glasses and all that to show the different
things.
Oh,
yes.
But
I would just
fill
them up. That is fine. You bring the glasses.
Yes.
I'm
that
down with
next.
That. I like the way that sounds.
We're going to talk about intoxication and, right?
Intoxication.
Proof. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus volume and, right? Why my red party cup is not one drink?
It's not.
Okay. Yes, we are going to have fun next week. All right?
Uh-oh.
So, thank you all for tuning in.
It's been
a great show. And
you, it's good for the show.
Tune in next week.